Welcome to the Inside CCW Safe Podcast with founders Stan Campbell and Mike Darter. If you're forced to fight the battle for your life, CCW Safe will fight the battle for your future.
Inside CCW Safe Podcast, I'm Mike Darter in Oklahoma City.
I'm Stan Campbell. I'm holding down Los Angeles this week.
L.A.
L.A.
You're going to be coming in Oklahoma City here pretty quick, right? Mama Mona's going to have surgery.
Yeah. Taking care of that. And a couple other things. I mean, we got in-house stuff that we got to take care of as well. Trying to prepare for our new building coming up in the next couple of months and, you know, different things.
Everybody be thinking of Mama Mona.
Yeah. Prayers out for Mama Mona.
Still got to get her on the show, man.
We do. I mean, because she's all about common sense.
She
has that thing where she'll tell you, road rage, don't do it.
Whether you want to hear it or not.
That's right. It's real
good advice coming from Mama Mona.
Mama Mona don't play.
So we got a great special guest on today, Phil Naiman from the Firing Line radio show on AM 590.
That's Phil, right. That's
Dollar
right.
Phil.
Dollar Phil. Hello, Phil.
How you guys doing?
Awesome.
Prayers to your mom.
Yes, definitely. Prayers to Mama Mona.
That's
so, Phil, we've been on his show several times. Stan's been on more out there because he's out there and he's got that sexy, sultry voice.
That's right. And you do know, I mean, Phil doesn't have many friends. So he calls me in every once in a while. You know, I'm one of the like three friends that can come down there and join him on the show, you know, whenever he needs.
The only three I trust.
That's right. it's awesome.
So yeah, why don't you go ahead and give a little background, Phil, on yourself, and then we'll get into some discussions on wacky Californians.
Well, which I am, right? So I born and raised out here in Southern California. This is an interesting place to be a Second Amendment advocate because we don't have the culture that they have in Oklahoma or, you know, any of the other free American states. So I found a way to be a teenage rebel when I was 15 years old. My mom was completely anti-gun, anti-hunting, anti-everything. So to irritate her, I got a job when I was 15 years old at a local gun store. So that was my and it was a blessing because I got to learn about firearms and from a responsible gun owner and hunter, and I got into it that way. So I always had a background in hunting and shooting in that nature. And surviving California for the next couple of years, we moved on, and it just started getting a little crazier in Sacramento, or as it's affectionately referred to here as ex-Mento. So we have no adults running our state. They make the most amazing pieces of legislation. You can't understand how they've ever been built. And we survive out here. We have a huge majority of common sense Californians leaving California. They're going to Arizona or Nevada or any place else that they're going. But, you know, we have to stay here. We have to fight because the problem is if you lose California, which pretty much we're on the edge. If California goes, the rest of the states are going to follow. And they're going to take the same model that they did to conquer California, which had Ronald Reagan as governor, right? It had Steve Majin as governor. We had a great economy, a great place to live. And as all the good conservatives and Second Amendment types went to work every day and raised their families, the other kind, this progressive liberal, snuck in the back door. And all of a sudden, they were in charge of everything from the water department to the parks department, to the city halls, to your planning department. And they got into the state legislature. They turned this entire state into this socialist. They think it's a utopia, but it's more like Venezuela. So you have to watch out. Yeah, I mean.
You know, I saw a report. It's been a while back, Phil, but it was on U-Haul and I think a couple other companies of moving, and the cost of moving out of the Bay Area into other cities, how it was 2 to 4 times the cost to move out to move in. And it was an interesting deal. They're talking about how many people are trying to get out of that area.
And they used to, when things like that happened, they used to actually pay people to fly to Oklahoma and drive a U-Haul back so they could rent it again.
Yeah.
Because it's all going one way. Anyway, yeah, we have a mass exodus of people leaving the state. The last 10 years, 6 million taxpayers have left.
Wow.
And lots of other kinds coming in that aren't paying taxes and are causing some issues. So California has big problems, but if somebody simply leaves here and goes somewhere else, those problems go with them, right? We have to quarantine California, fix the infection here, right? Trump's border wall should go along Oregon, Nevada, Arizona, keep the infection here till we can cure it, because what is happening here will be repeated in other states. You know, we all have, you guys are CCW safe and you're awesome and great services of what you have, but there are counties out here where I doubt you have any
customers
because the sheriffs have decided not to issue any CCWs, like Los Angeles County. Was it 13 million people there?
Yeah.
No CCWs, right? So unless you're a movie star or something like that.
Yeah. Of course. Well, and it's just like what we've seen happening in New York. You know, other states have already followed. When New York had the claim against the NRA and against the insurance companies, New Jersey followed, California followed, Washington followed. So, yeah, like you said, I mean, there's going to be other states are going to follow. So one of the interesting things when you were talking earlier about your introduction to guns, the last podcast we did with Maggie Mordaunt, CCW out of Las Vegas, CCW Maggie. She had another interesting story, kind of like yours, how she was introduced to guns. That was interesting. I just wanted to get that in. I meant to say that earlier and didn't get it.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, when were you introduced to the guns?
Me?
Yeah.
So my brother, I've got four older brothers and one older sister. Mm. And that's why I eat like I'm in prison, Stan, because I'm the youngest of six. So, my brother, Mark, who passed away when I was in ninth grade, but he introduced me to hunting. I mean, he was always an outdoor, guy. He was always hunting. He was always training dogs. And so I was introduced to hunting when I was pretty young, actually, probably 12 years old, 13 years old. Used to quail hunt, bird hunt. And then, of course, when I was on the police department, I duck hunted a lot. So. Mm-hmm. But it was with handguns. It was with the police department.
Yeah. Mine was definitely with the police department as well. Growing up in New Jersey, there weren't that many that were legal coming up. So I stayed away. I stayed away from them. But when I got on the police department, that's really when I was introduced to firearms.
Nice.
And loved them ever since.
And when did you leave New Jersey?
You said where?
When?
When did you leave?
Oh, 1990. 1 year before I became a police officer. I was 21, I had hair back then.
A little bit.
Shut up, Phil. Phil and I have grown pretty close, in the past couple of years, doing the radio show together and sometimes helping a guest host or coming in as as one of his guests. And I get along with Phil. He's an awesome guy. I do tell him, he makes fun of me too. I always say I'm not a small guy. I don't know why Phil bothers me like he does, but
I used to be able to run faster than I can.
Definitely run faster.
Has to be nice now.
I'm sure you can throw down a distracting lunch sandwich or something like that, and I'll stop chasing you.
That's right. It's the kibbles and bits defense.
That's right. Yeah, but Phil, I want you to get into a little bit, about the start of Fire and Line Radio Show. Was that your brainchild, and what made you want to get into radio?
Well, okay, so back in 2009, the Tea Party started, and out here, the Redlands Tea Party was. Still is. It's been around for 10 years now. And I was one of the founding members there. And we got a phone call from a guy named Lou Desmond. And he did a local talk show on AM 590. And he said, what the heck is this Tea Party thing? And and nobody wanted to go talk to him. I was, you know, I drew the short straw, so I had to go down there, and we just had fun. And so I ended up being a regular guest on his show, and then the station manager said, "Do you want to do your own show?" And I was doing a political talk show for 2 years, and but the political climate we had, you know, Barack Obama had just been reelected, and I'm like, I don't want to talk about political things anymore. It's disheartening. So I came to him and I said, I really enjoy the show. I enjoy radio. I like the medium. I like the way it works, but I'd rather talk about something that interests me. And so I said, I'd like to do a show on the Second Amendment. And we've never heard of such a thing. And so, especially in Southern California, there's a couple national guys that have great shows, but locally on the air, there's nothing like that. So it was interesting. We developed the show and I come up with all the content and I find people like you and bring them into the studio and take them to lunch and life's great.
That's right. Yeah. And then, you know, you cover a many topics and like you said, a lot of Second Amendment, you know, topics, but you know, it's pretty interesting, especially you grew up in California. So you kind of talked about the local and the state government. How does that really affect the gun industry out there?
They're doing everything they can to throttle our firearm industry. Okay. Mm-hmm. Everything from zoning laws. You can't put one here. You can't put one within 100 miles of a school. You know, whatever they come up with. The other thing that they've done is this roster. The roster and the micro stamp bills, which micro stamping was actually signed by Schwarzenegger. So good job, Arnold. he's not the Conan we thought he was. How's that?
Yeah. That would dumb.
It's not a tumor. Anyway. So micro-stamping states that if a new firearm, new semi-automatic firearm is going to be sold in the state of California, it has to have the micro-stamping technology, which means that in two places, when the gun is fired, it stamps the serial number of whatever gun fired it onto the ammunition. Mm. So that when bad guys use a micro-stamp gun, you can look over here and go, oh, look, this shell has a serial number on it. That must be the good guy who bought the gun and had it stolen. That's, you know. It's ridiculous. All it is, and Kamala Harris, who's the senator out there driving everybody crazy, Kamala Harris is the one who put that in, said that we now have that technology, so any new semi-automatic firearm in California has to have that involved. Technology doesn't exist, but she made it a law when she was our attorney general because she is that anti-gun. So I can't get all the nice stuff I see. I look online, I was in Vegas, and I shot this guy's HK V9, I think it is. Awesome gun. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can only have whatever we were selling like 9 years ago. And the manufacturers have to pay a fee every year to sell their guns in California, like $10,000 a piece for their semi-automatic pistols. So they pass the drop test. Those are the ones that existed before. And if they say, you know what, we're not selling enough of those guns, it cuts too far into our profit, we'll just drop it from California. We can't buy it. So if I walk into Bullseye Sports Guns and Ammo, if I walk into ABC gun store in Chino, they have all the same stuff. All the same. They all have a Glock 17, a Glock 19, an M&P shield. So for the last 7 or 8 years, if you've wanted a new gun, you've bought one of those, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing new in the gun stores unless it's a used gun. So they have done a lot to really slow things down. And then every time they pass a law, we have huge spikes in sales.
Yeah.
In December, I was talking to a VP of Turner's. And in December, everybody thought this new ammunition bill was going to go in where you have to be registered to buy ammunition in California. Yes, you have to be registered and have a little permit card that says you can buy ammunition in California. They thought that was going into effect in January, so they had a huge onslaught of ammunition sales. Caught them unawares. That law goes into effect July 1st this year. So I imagine in June, all of a sudden, everybody wakes up and says, oh, yeah, I better buy the next 5 years from the Bama this month.
Yeah.
You know, we can't buy it online. We can't. Well, if you do, it has to be shipped into an FFL and pay him a fee and registered anyway. So they're doing everything they can to drive the costs up and your options down. And they're making the gun owners, the best people, they're making them into criminals. And what I mean by that, and you guys know this, CCWs are your business, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The the percentage of people who commit crimes that are CCW holders is so much lower than that of regular police officers. I mean, they're the best of the best. They are the best law-abiding people you're going to find. And they're doing everything they can to inhibit their possession. Yet in California, and this is the craziest thing, guys. I mean, you're watching this in Ohio or wherever else. They are freeing felons. They're letting felons out of jail.
Yeah.
They're doing everything they can to make gun owners criminals, but opening up the jail site and putting actual felons and gangbangers and murderers and rapists on the streets and not arresting new people for property crimes for less than $1,000. Anyway, I know I'm going down rabbit trails and I apologize.
That's okay.
But, you know,
there's it's just one thing that shows how uneducated a lot of our politicians, and not just in California, but how uneducated our politicians are and how little they know, or some of them know, about the firearms community, about the culture, about the technical aspects of it. You know, you're talking about the micro stamping. What I did for the last 10 years of my career was work the ATF program that was ballistic fingerprinting. I mean, they didn't need that micro stamping. Micro stamping, you can already determine what, you know, what bullet came from what gun, what casing came from what gun. It's just, and you see it in the media is even worse. You know, you see, they don't even know what an automatic rifle is. You know,
I always like photographs where they show a gun, they show a picture of an AR-15, and here's the end of the barrel. Then there's an entire cartridge coming out the barrel, and that's right. It's got the brass casing in it.
Yeah, it's incredible how I just, and like I said, it's not California, not only California, but it's just crazy how some of these people get elected.
Well, I mean, I couldn't go there and be talking about brain surgery, right?
With anybody, right.
But they feel no problem. They go, all guns are bad. Except for the ones that their hired security forces keep them safe with, right?
Yeah.
So it's and the other thing we have here is you cannot carry a firearm on a school property. So, okay, so maybe that makes sense. Maybe people say, well, people shouldn't have guns on there. Well, that means that if you're an off-duty police officer, you can't have your gun on one, right? Who would be carrying a gun on school property? Well, again, the best people, the CCW holders, the off-duty police officers, and so forth. Those are guys. That just makes it a giant soft target. All of these mass shootings we've had, they've all been in gun-free zones because these people are cowards. Cowards first. As soon as a shot gets sent their way, they turn around and run. We had a shooting in Poway, California. Unfortunately, a wonderful woman died during a Passover service. The guy came in with an AR-15, started shooting. Somebody returned fire. He was the off-duty parole officer or a prison officer, I believe. But he shot at the guy. He didn't hit him, but he shot at him. What's the guy do? Wets himself, turns around, and runs.
Yeah.
Because his game has changed. That didn't happen in Call of Duty 4 while he was in there.
That's right.
That doesn't happen. All of a sudden, it's a life changer, and he realizes he's in trouble. What did he do? He ran out and surrendered to police. Was he a bad guy? Did he shoot out with the cops? No, he wanted none of that. Why? Because he's a capital C coward. And that's what those people are. And we coddle them. Then we say, well, geez, why did he do this? Let's publish his manifesto. Let's find out what this thought. Let's put his name in highlights. Let's make a movie series about him, right? No. We need to take these people down and say, we want to recognize them never. They should have an unmarked grave. Never mention their name. I never mention their names on my show. Say it's Coward 1 or Coward 2. You know, they're cretins and they're cowards and they don't deserve to have their – these are the worst people. Why are we building them up? Which creates a whole other bunch of sick people who want to kind of follow that. You know, people who are fans of Columbine. Why? Because those two shooters were so much was fame was given to them, even though they were dead.
Correct. So
I think the culture has to change that way as far as the media is concerned. they are lifting up all the wrong things. And it has to be by design because they can't be stupid, you know?
Hey, Phil, what's the numbers in California? And do you know the latest numbers on, you know, how many are gun owners?
Yeah, we have between 8 and 10 million registered gun owners in the state of California.
Wow. Wow.
He just wound me up again. I'm about to do another diatribe.
No, that's okay. I like to jab at you. Go.
So, poke the bear. So we have that many people that are registered gun owners in California. In our last election, 2016, we had 6 million people vote for Hillary Clinton. All right?
Oh, wow.
Folks, if I have 8 million registered gun owners, these have to be Second Amendment types. Mm. If they simply showed up and voted, we would not have the kind of people in our government we do. Hillary Clinton, with 6 million people, she says she won the popular vote for the entire country. Mm. But California should not have had that. We have 18 million registered voters. Mm. 8 million of them are registered gun owners, and they're not showing up. That is a maddening statistic. I mean, I've been to gun shows with my voter registration form. Mm-hmm. And I say, oh, no, I don't want to get on the list. You're already on the list. You're on the firearm.
You're not going on the list. Just vote, right?
Right. Maybe vote this one. You know, you have an opportunity here. And I do, as you know me, I publicly shame them and make them fall away as they should. Because if they can't stand up for that, you know, why are you bothering to buy a firearm?
Yeah.
You know, one of the programs we came out with the last 2 years is registering gun owners, because when does everybody want to buy a gun? When it's about to become illegal. That's the way it works in California.
Yeah.
So we have a very, very slow system for registering a firearm when you buy it. You walk in, you say, I want to buy this gun. The guy says, great, here's your 4473 form. And then he goes over to his computer and he's typing as fast as he can.
Yeah.
And it takes 20 minutes to buy paperwork to buy the firearm. So the program I came up with, and we did it in multiple stores out here in Southern California, was, okay, so you're buying your gun. Here's your 4473 form. Fill this out to buy the gun. Here's the voter registration form.
Yeah.
Fill this out to keep the gun.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're willing to register to vote, you're not buying a firearm, you're renting it.
Yeah, you're right. Now, and we talked before, there are a couple of really friendly counties in California, correct?
Yeah, there's two, and I'm surrounded by both of them. And so, two in Southern California. Northern California is different. That's, you know, a whole different world. But Riverside County, we just got a new sheriff in there. The old sheriff was great also. Stan was great. Sniff was great. I'm not knocking him, but this new guy, Chad Bianco, seems to really have turned up the speed as far as CCWs are concerned. He's issuing them very, very quicker than I've ever seen in any county. And then in San Bernardino County, largest county in the states, we have John McMahon. He's a very good pro-Second Amendment sheriff. He actually comes to the meetings, like when you do your renewal, he's there, he's talking with you, he's accessible. Very pro-Second Amendment. So those two counties are issuing. Orange County is on again, off again. LA County is a no-go zone.
Yeah.
Well, if you have one, you can go there, but you're not going to get issued a CCW in LA County.
That's correct.
Yeah. San Diego County, as you know, William Gore, who's an ATF agent at Ruby Ridge.
Mm.
He is agent in charge of Ruby Ridge. He's the sheriff of San Diego.
Really?
He was just elected there?
He's been there for a while.
Oh, has he been there for a while?
Yeah.
One thing I noticed when we started. I was really surprised at what we've done in California since we started. California is what, our second?
It's still our second largest, yeah.
Which I never would have thought that. But, you know, after being involved with being out there and especially being on your show, Phil, I realize how, the state is fairly conservative state. It's just there's so many people in L.A. and the Bay Area that it's just.
Yeah, they run the whole state. It's sad. And the other thing that helps, especially with some of the services you guys provide, is you have something just for homeowners that isn't just CCW based, right?
Correct. Yeah.
And
you
so that's
the home defense plan. Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think is really, you know, even if you don't have a CCW, you are silly if you own a firearm to not have that policy, because your homeowners, and we talk about this on my show all the time, if I had my homeowners policy and I got my extra umbrella, $5 million just in case, you know, whatever happens, and a bad guy comes in and I have to use my firearm in self-defense, well, my understanding is the insurance agent's going to say, hey, wow, it's really terrible that happened. So tell me what happened. You say, oh, well, this bad guy and three of his friends came in with bad intentions. We had a little discussion. I talked them into going to the happy hunting ground, and that's the story. And he says, well, did you intentionally defend yourself? So, well, yeah, I had to. I mean, they're coming in. I've got my wife, my daughter, and yeah, I defended myself on purpose, of course. He goes, oh, that's bad. We don't cover you because you intentionally defended yourself.
That's so, right.
And as a homeowner, you're like, wait a minute. So those five bad guys who are worth nothing, they're not worth snail snot. Those five bad guys' families are now going to sue me for defending my life and my wife and my family. I'm going to lose everything I earned to lawyers. Even if they lose in court, you're wiped out from lawyer fees, right?
Yeah, yeah.
This happens time and time again. So I think anybody should have a minimum one of those policies, just because we have so many bad guys out here. It's not you're defending yourself against bad lawsuits, because you defend yourself, you have to do, but you're going to get attacked by a sea of lawyers. And one thing I've learned in this last year is when it comes to the legal field, it's not facts, it's not fairness, it's whatever somebody can push enough paper to prove.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Who tells the most compelling story?
Yeah. Hey, and that's one reason why we created this the way we did. But one thing to think about too, because there are all these people say, well, my homeowners are covering it. Well, even if they were to cover it, you have to realize, because I've been through a federal lawsuit on a police, through a police action on a shooting. And it's just like that city attorney. You have your city attorney, but they're not your attorney, because that city attorney is looking out for that city. Just like that. Even if homeowners were to cover it, the attorney that is going to be hired for that
just
is working for that insurance company, for you.
Yeah.
So that's one to think about. And then also, I mean, even things people don't think about, a cleanup. If you get involved, if you shoot somebody in your house, I mean, that's going to be some cleanup. And, you know, that's right. $3,000 right there, you know, and, you know, we cover that. So that's something that people really don't think about.
Oh,
geez. Yeah, seriously. You're right. Yeah. And then, you know, it's kind of funny too, Phil, you know, we haven't had any deadly force incidents with our California members yet, but we've had about four different cases where we had to defend them on brandishing. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, because like they are really, really serious about going after these any gun owners anytime you even display your weapon. Or have to pull it and point it at someone just, you know, to stop some type of aggression. So we spend a lot of time trying to, you know, hit home the importance of de-escalation and avoidance, and really just pulling that firearm out, you know, in the instance that you think you have to defend your life, you know, or limb, you know. So, I mean, it's pretty expensive. Even, you know, the average case for us on even a brandishing, you know, the bottom line is $10,000. Mm-hmm. So that's how much it's going to cost you. If you don't have some type of service, you're going to have to pay $10,000 to even start that. So, I mean, it's amazing.
I think you should have on the top of your holster, when you look down, you should have a little number that says $10,000, right? Mm-hmm. So you can just remind yourself, if you're going to be stupid and brandish, that's going to cost you $10,000.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. They've been lucky, because we've had a couple of borderline ones, Phil, I'm not going to lie. And we lean toward protecting the member and defending them. But we remind them that, hey, you know, really, we shouldn't be here. But we're going to go ahead and we're going to take the hit for you. Said, but, you know, I mean, you're really lucky that you didn't go further, because people don't understand that, you know, just because somebody looks at you wrong, or spits on your shoe, you can't point your gun at them, you know?
No, it's amazing. I think that there's probably not enough done to properly educate about the use of force.
Yeah. And
I don't want to have more restrictions thrown in somebody's way to get a CCW, but I think that it's got to fall on you, the gun owner, the guy who's carrying. You need to understand this stuff, and how are you going to go about getting that information? So whether you take other courses or follow up with the police department, take a PC-38 or something like that, you need to understand when you can, why you should, why you shouldn't.
That's right.
And look at the accidents that happened. There was a case in Oakland, I believe it was, on the BART, where this guy was had to be tackled and stuff like that. An officer had his gun drawn, and he thought he was tasing him, but he didn't holster his gun. He still had his firearm in his hand, and he shot and killed this guy, and now everybody's lives are ruined. It was obviously unintentional, yet it happened. Why did it happen? Because he had his gun in his hand. He failed in his training. He failed in what he needed to do next, right? Somebody died and his life's ruined too. So as a CCW holder, it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there as far as where you need to go and what you need to do. You need to keep training. I'm actually going to just had a mail service there. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
California, no earthquakes. Those earthquakes. Just
hey, point your gun at them, Phil. Tell them to shut that down.
Yeah. Well, and so actually this week on Saturday, I'm going to shoot an IDPA course, a tactical pistol out of West End. And I went and got a left-handed holster because, as you know, I had shoulder surgery.
Yeah.
And so I've never shot left-handed before. I usually make fun of left-handed people.
Yeah, and you know, I've had the opportunity to shoot with Phil too. You know, he took me up to one of the outdoor ranges that he frequents. Yeah, what's the name of it?
West End Gun Club.
West End Gun Club. I had an awesome time. It was my first time, and we were shooting some rifle as well. But he had some pretty challenging exercises for us to do. But I did pretty good though, didn't I, Phil?
Yes, you did. Yeah.
Pretty salty for somebody who's not behind the rifle that often anymore.
I know. You came in second, famously.
Well, you know, it was just the two of us, so I guess that's good. that's second winner. Shut
silver
up.
Silver medal, baby. Silver medal.
That's right. What were you shooting?
We were shooting rifles and ARs and pistols. And I think at the end, I think we were shooting 22s at the end.
Yeah. I mean,
They'll have shotgun shells out there in the field or something. And so the end of the game is to pick a shotgun shell that's out there 20, 30 yards and shoot it over the next berm, like before the next guy can hit it. So it's kind of fast shooting and real small targets and just fun. That just gets to be fun.
Yeah, it was fun. We had a good time. Yeah, but you know what? In almost all these podcasts, we talk about training. I mean, what's your opinion on training, Phil? I mean, the importance of it and.
You don't do it enough. I mean, that's my whole thing on the CCW thing is you get your CCW, it doesn't end there, all right? You now are introducing a firearm wherever you go. So you need to know how to carry it. You need to know when to pull it, when not to pull it, where to carry, where not to carry. You need to defend yourself while retaining the firearm. You know, because not everything is pull the gun and go. You may have to retain yourself or defend yourself without pulling it. How do you do that? So I think there's a lot of different aspects that guys need to really understand. When you strap that gun on, you're strapping on a responsibility. Yes, it's your right.
That's right.
But it is your responsibility too, because we are, as I said before, we're law-abiding citizens. We are respectful citizens. We are people who understand our own responsibilities. So we have to understand that avenue. And you pull out your firearm, if you make the wrong decision, California, you're going to jail.
Yeah.
You're going to pay for the legal services, but you're going to jail. And your house is gone, your wife's gone, your kid's gone, your retirement's gone. It's all, I mean, it's a big thing. So the responsibility is on you. If you carry that firearm, which is your right, the responsibility is on you now to do the right thing 100% of the time. You can't make a mistake. You can't get your bullets back. You send one down range, You can't get it back.
It's going to
do what it's going to do. You've sent it on a mission. Right, wrong, or indifferent, it's gone. So we can't go backwards with firearms. Even on accidents or training, you know, you have to have safety first. You have to be 100% correct 100% of the time.
Mm.
And that's why training mandatory.
Yeah, training is key. You know, and I'm just listening to you talk. Did we ever have, we didn't have Stephen Maddox on your show yet, right?
No.
No, we need to have him call in when I'm there and he can talk about his experience because, mm-hmm. I mean, it's always different. We hear it often from police officers, but not from, you know, citizens who, you know, defend themselves and got charged with murder and had to be involved for, you know, the second fight of their life. And, you know, I think it'd be really compelling to have him on your show as well and have him tell that story and let you question him. So I'm going to try to set that up.
Thank you. I just saw a video last night. It was a police shooting. It was a female officer, and it's at night, and this guy's wearing dark clothes, and he just pulled a knife, or he did something bad, right? It's a bad guy doing bad things. So she gets him out there in the middle of the street, and she tells him, put your hands on my car. Go over here, put your hands on my car. And he's just ignoring her. He starts looking at her, and he's realizing, I can take her. She's got her gun out, and the guy charges her.
That's crazy.
He hits her twice before she shoots him.
Mm.
He was actually, she shot him from being on the ground. He was on top of her, hitting her when she shot him.
Wow. Hey,
think about that. Here's a trained police officer with a pistol in her hand, and this guy closed the distance on her.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, action will always be faster than reaction. And if you don't train, then your response to that aggression, I mean, it's going to be delayed and you'll become a victim really fast.
Yeah, I don't think people understand that.
No. I mean,
yeah, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. We had Pat McNamara on and we talked about how fast and how violent some of these attacks can be. And yeah, if you're not prepared for it, you know, that, again, that's why you talk about training. I think one of the biggest training aspects that's overlooked is just basic situational awareness
and being
able to identify these things. And especially in California, if, you know, you get in certain areas, you know, you have to know to avoid at all costs.
Yes. That's right.
And distance is key.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep. You know, we practice, we go over to Riverside Indoor Shooting Range, shameless plug. Shooting range. Big Tom's out there, and some of the classes he runs are, you know, they're high speed. So it's from the draw and fire, and he's timing you. And a fast guy is a second.
Mm-hmm.
Fast.
Yeah, that's fast.
A fast guy whose hands are up here, and he's ready, and he's waiting for the beat, that's his. Super fast is under a second, but a fast guy is a second. You know, a second and a half is probably good. A little over that is average. But that's waiting here for the beat. Shooter ready, ready, go. Draw, fire. Second, yeah. Second and a half. But if you have your clothing down and your hands in your pockets and a guy is 12 feet away from you and he's mouthing off or whatever, he's going to come. He is going to close that distance before you can lift your shirt, grab your pistol, clear the leather, swing over and get a round up. He is going to close that distance. You're going to be on the ground, and now it's jiu-jitsu time, right? Unless you have a Spartan 300 front kick, but you have to have a full game to defend yourself. It's that situational awareness and realizing that just because you have a firearm, you're not Superman.
Yeah.
Get defeated often by somebody who is intentional and fast and first.
Oh, absolutely. And then half the time, I mean, you know, people, you know, they're not even aware, you know, enough just to stop looking at their phones or, you know, they're walking down the street and just, you know, texting and doing all this and not, they don't know where they are. They're not watching people approach them.
Street signs take those people out.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so crazy. It's so crazy.
I think number one, you should apply for your CCW. If you're a good citizen, get your CCW. Get an adequate pistol. I see a lot of people get micro pistols. They can't shoot.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's better to think of another way to carry. You know, I for me, the Glock 19 is a great gun. I have a big enough frame. I can hide that. The SIG 365, if you can find those in California, they are probably the best gun, I think. But you're going to have to learn how to carry it, learn how to train with it, and practice with it unloaded. Practice drawing and firing and lifting the clothes, drawing and firing. And however you need to do, that has to be second nature with movement, right? What do they teach you guys in the academy is get off the X, right?
Yep.
Don't go backwards, go to your right, go to your left, but don't go backwards.
Yep.
And or go forwards, one of the two. But that, I think, is missing from so many people. Now, I've been to some CCW training classes, and I've seen the people who are getting their licenses, and they're all super, super nice people. Their targets look like shotgun targets from I would be embarrassed to have that as my target and then saying I'm going to use my firearm to defend myself.
Yeah.
You need to build your skill level up. I don't think that should be a requirement to get your CCW. I think it should be innate in you to want to do that. You get your CCW, you need to be able to be a good shooter, period.
Yeah, I think people need to realize that a CCW course is not a training course.
No.
A concealed carry course is a certification course, and that's all it is.
Yeah.
And people first need to understand that, and then exactly what you said, once you get that, that's when the training starts. As Yoda would say.
I saw a Yoda cartoon. He's all buffed out. It says, "You are puny. Lift you must." So anyway.
You see why I hang out with him, Michael?
Yeah, I see, man.
He's a strange guy.
I'm good at it.
You're good at it, Phil.
You're good at it.
Yeah.
So what do you carry, Phil?
Well, right. Interesting story. I moved counties, which upsets the entire apple cart. So my San Bernardino County was expiring January 1st, and I moved December 1st. So I couldn't renew with San Bernardino County. I had to go in with Riverside County. But then I had an opportunity to pick up a SIG 365, so I wanted to wait till I could buy that to have it on my car. So right now, when I finish my process, which I'm in the process with Riverside County, when I finish that, I'll carry it to SIG 365, which I think is just a great 10-shot, 9mm, good trigger, accurate gun. It's what the Glock 43 should be. Sorry. But it carry that. I have a Glock 19. I do have a 6.42, but that's just because I wear suits for my business, so it's something extremely light I can put in the back of my coat and not having any bulges. So then on my larger side, because in California, if you have a CCW, you can carry a firearm while you're bow hunting. I have 44 Magnum.
Yeah.
6.29. And I think I have the Glock 21 45 ACP. So I can put six guns on. So I have a plethora. So I can match my shoes with whatever I'm wearing.
A plethora.
No.
Yeah, I got the P365 and I really like that gun. Oh, I really like that. I've always carried Glock 19 pretty much is what I've always carried. Mm-hmm. I still have the Glock 43. But I really like the P365. I'd like to try the Glock 45, the newer ones in the was it 43X or whatever. But I haven't tried those yet. I'm just happy with that P365.
I want to shoot that when I'm in town, Michael, with you.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to do it yet.
It's an awesome gun. Like you said, the trigger is just really smooth on it. And you don't have to do anything to it. You know, the first thing you have to do with the Glock, you get your Glock, you get new sights. And, you know, it comes with good sights, night sights. So, yeah, it's a good firearm. Yeah, we'll go shoot it when you're here, Stan.
Yeah, it's 10-shot, 9mm, itty-bitty package.
Yeah.
Tangible. The whole gun, I mean, when you're presenting it, it's not too small. Like my 6.42, which is a titanium 5-shot Smith, too small. Your hand kind of, you know, you might creep around the cylinder, which you don't want to do. So it's a little too small. But that Glock, the SIG 365 is cats meow. And I really like the 19. I always have. But on my 19, I don't know about you, but I just took a rat tail file to it and said, wait, this little thing bothers me on the trigger guard.
Yeah, you have to get that undercut.
A little hand shaving. So it's a customized gun now.
Ah, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, the magazine extension on that extender on that P365 makes it perfect, I think, for yeah. bigger hands. You know, it's
pinky on there. Yeah, so, absolutely. It still won't fit stands. I mean, stand holds a 21 looks like a little G.I. Joe gun in that paw.
Shut
That's
up,
what I carried Phil. On duty. What did you carry, Steve? Did you have a 21 on duty?
I had a Glock 17, and then I think we went to the SWAT team went to a 45 for them. They forced us to sign to go to the 45.
So did you have a Glock, the 21?
Yeah. So
that's what I carried.
You know, they have a new one. Have you seen the Glock 41?
No.
All the goodness of the regular Glock, but it's a slimline, a slimmer handle.
Oh, yeah. Is that the Glock 19 frame, but it's a slim?
Yeah, they call it the 41.
41. Yeah, I haven't tried that.
Another wonderful gun we can't buy here in California.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy. That's, I don't get it. So, yeah, I got to get back out there sometime soon.
Yeah.
I haven't been out there in a while.
I got a new sandwich joint for you, so.
Really? What is it?
Saverno's in Redlands. Fantastic. Oh, nice. Yeah. You're going to love it.
What's the one place we go to all the time? The German?
Zolo's.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. You can't wear that white shirt, Stan, to Saverino's because it's – the sauce, man. It's going to be
great. This is a gray shirt. You put your glasses on, Phil. No, but hey, is there anything else you want to, give our listeners before you leave, Phil? Because we're about to shut down in a few minutes.
You know what? I think they really need to understand what it is that you guys do and why you do it. Because this is a service that you can't find anywhere else. You know, you protect your family however you need to, whether that's with a firearm or any other use of force, right?
Mm. And
the last thing you want to do is you want to be liable because you were successful in defending your family. That is just so systematically unfair, but it's a reality, especially here in California. So whether or not you have a CCW, you need to take a look at how do you protect your family. I have liability coverage over and above my car insurance, right?
Yes.
This is a form of life insurance. It's, saving your life insurance, because without having CCW safe, the repercussions are horrific. And if you think fighting a civil lawsuit is bad, wait till you have to fight against the DA, who has unlimited resources and time.
That's right.
You know, they'll stretch it out 6 or 9 years. They don't care because they know that attrition is one of their tactics, and they will wind you out of money. So you absolutely, this is something you need to protect your families. It's something I believe in. You know, any of my sponsors that are on the show, and you guys are one of my sponsors, are companies I use, are things I believe in.
And that's right.
Wouldn't have you there if it wasn't. So I'm really glad that you're there, and I'm glad that you do what you do. You save so many people from being wrecked. What did you say, the second fight of your life, Stan?
Yeah. I think I stole that from Mike, but yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's exactly what it is, you know. People don't realize. Yeah, it's the next fight, and you have to be ready for it. You do. That's what you talked about earlier about the awesome responsibility of those who carry. I mean, it's exactly that. And you know, there's so many different parts of it that you have to really pay attention to and be ready for. So we appreciate you, Phil. Also, I don't know if you had a chance or you've heard of it, but pick up the Crime in Place app. Do you have that, Phil, yet?
No.
So it's the Crime in Place app. You know, I mean, we have a CCW safe stamp on one of them, but you can look it up, Crime and Place. And
yeah,
what
it's a
it
great
does
app.
Is, yeah, it gives you, from your location nationwide, your GPS location, it'll tell you all the places to avoid, all the high crime areas. So, you might need to avoid the close 7-Eleven and go to the one 2 miles away because the one that you're near has, 10 robberies in the past month. So, but it's a great app to have. And that's part of avoidance as well.
That's a good idea. I didn't even know about that. Thanks, guys.
And then one thing before you go, your shows are online, right? So people can listen to them online.
Thank you. Yeah. We have all the media outlets. I'm on Instagram at Firing Line Radio Show. Facebook is Firing Line Radio Show. There's a group page, which is where I do all my giveaways. You can join it from the main page, Firing Line Radio Show group. FiringLineRadio.com is where all the podcasts are at. So you can subscribe to the podcast. You can hear Stan doing his fantastic Barry White imitation.
Yeah.
Actually, it's Barry White doing his imitation of Stan Campbell.
Very funny.
We have some fun there. But all the shows, got 7 years worth of shows listed on there. You can, it's the best tool for insomnia. Plug it in, you'll go right to sleep, not a problem.
Yeah, so check them out on their social media and follow him. It's a good show, FirelineRadio.com. All right, thanks, Phil. I appreciate you coming on, and can't wait to see you again and hit that sandwich shop.
That's right.
That's what it's
and about. And Phil, I'll see you on the 23rd, I believe. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
All right, you guys take care.
All right, be safe. Thank you.